The following worship service was recorded live with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, July 28, 2019, at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Bible-based faith community in Rock Springs, Wyoming, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Church, today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. God has created us out of love to receive grace, to know His love, and to share His love. We are uniquely created with free will. So let us recognize that truly today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful Father, we thank You for an opportunity to come to worship, praise, and fellowship, to come and share in this time together, and we claim the promise that where two or three are gathered in Your name, You are there, and that promise we claim today with Your presence and us with You. Let us now worship You in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Reading this morning is from Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, at least because of his persistence, will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask for Him?" The Word of God for the people of God.
Sometimes we just need to kind of go back a little bit and look at things and put them in their context. So I want us to look at Luke just a little bit and kind of keep this in mind. We're going to be in Luke for a little while, and I want you to keep Luke in mind. Luke writes two letters. He writes this, his Gospel, which means the good news, and he writes the Acts of the Apostles as well. Those are Luke's two contributions to the New Testament. Luke is not a disciple. Luke did not follow in the path of Jesus. Luke is a later convert to Christianity. Luke is a physician. Luke is a follower of Paul. However, Luke is methodical in his writing. Luke's writing in Luke's Greek is almost penmanship perfect. It's the best one to translate. And when I was in seminary and we were doing our Greek and Hebrew, everybody wanted Luke. Nobody wanted Mark. I got Mark. Those other lucky folks got Luke. But no, I had to labor with Mark. I don't know if Mark actually knew Greek or not, the way he wrote. It was difficult. But Luke is writing to most, if you go back and read Luke, he tells you, he's writing to most excellent Theophilus, and which we think is a high-ranking Roman official, and most excellent Theophilus means lover of God. So we know that he is a high-ranking official, and we know that because as you read Luke, how many of you remember the story of the paralytic who they brought to the house of Jesus was teaching in? And they brought the paralytic, do you remember the story? And they tore back the grass and the roof and the sod, and they lowered him in a pallet down, you know, which is a padded blanket, basically. And they lower him down, his friends, and Jesus heals him and says, roll it up and take it with you and go on your way. Luke tells the same story, but in Luke's gospel, when you read it, they tear off shingles. And in Luke's gospel, they lower him on a bed. Luke is writing to a different group, to a different person. The sod roof is replaced with clay roof, which would have been Theophilus' point of reference. The pallet is replaced with the bed, which would have been Theophilus' point of reference. Now Luke has also got a volume of information that he can put in this letter. Luke has investigated. We think that it may have actually taken Luke about 6 years to accumulate the information that he writes in this letter. So out of all that information, Luke carefully chooses, with Theophilus in mind, what he's going to share. Good news for us is, we have the letter, but it wasn't written to you or me. How many of you are Theophilus? Anybody Theophilus? No. So it wasn't written to me. So I'm reading somebody else's mail, aren't I? So if I'm going to understand somebody else's mail, I need to context it, don't I? That's all the contexting I'm going to do. But I want to share with you that it's preserved for us by the very power of God. Because it was inspired by God, is inspired by God, and is for us today to open this letter written 2,000 years ago and let it show us something about prayer. You guessed the sermon was about prayer, right? The songs? Did I give it away? I did put it even in the title, I think, something about prayer. Well, let's talk about it. Now, you notice that Luke's gospel, his Lord's Prayer is way different from that one over Matthew, right? You did notice that, right? You did notice that it was different than the one we just said, right? This is yes. Did you go to sleep? I'm getting a super soaker while we're gone, filling it with ice water. The first one that nods, I'm going to put Garrett on soaker duty. He's going to get to watch. That'll keep him from nodding. Because if he nods, I'm going to get him. So anyway. So let's look at it a little bit. Now, he says, and Jesus was in a particular place. In Matthew, he names it, but Luke doesn't. He was in a particular place, and Jesus was praying. Remember, Theophilus, prayer's important. Jesus did it. Church, prayer's important. Jesus did it. Jesus is praying. And the disciples look like going, this is unique. I kind of like this. He's talking to the man upstairs. That's what they're doing. Do you see that? There, and Jesus is praying. And when Jesus gets done, the disciples say to Jesus, hey, man, teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples. You see, these were early converts that had followed John the Baptist, who are now following Jesus. Tell us, teach us, show us. So notice that Jesus says, okay, When you pray, say, let's stop there for a minute, say, here's how it starts, this is how it begins. I want you to notice, and if you got your Bibles out, you need to underline this because this is really important. Matthew, Jesus says, when you pray, pray our Father who is in heaven. When Luke gives it to Theophilus, Luke leaves out our. Matthew's written to groups of people. Luke is written to a person. The Lord's Prayer that Jesus is going to teach his disciples is an intimate prayer. The word our is taken out, which means our Father, corporate. For Theophilus, Jesus says to the disciples, when you say or when you pray, begin it with Father, an intimate title. Father. Father. Mine. Yours. Father, holy or sufficient is your name. Exalted, lifted high. Father, holy is your name. It's humbling ourselves. Have you ever really thought about who we are as individuals in the grand scheme of things? You got your bulletin? Look at the front cover. I hate for you to waste these things, take them with you, use them, make airplanes out of them, or notepads, or bookmarkers, or they actually make nice bookmarkers if you cut the back off, fold them, and glue the edge. They really make pretty bookmarkers. Not that anybody would want to do that. Look what it says. And the nation of Israel, God's people, that's who we are, by the way, church. That's who we are. Shall be more numerous than the sands of the sea, of which nobody can number. Well, guess who made the sands of the sea? God. Guess who knows how many they are? God. If you're going to make something and you go and pour it out there, you need to know how much, right? So God knows. We are specks of sand. Yet God knows each speck. And our God wants to hear from every speck. I'm just a speck. I don't even make it to the point of a dot on a number line in God's corner. But I'm a speck. And I'm God's speck. And God loves me. And when this speck says, Father, God, the creator of the universe has time for me. He has time for you. And holy, magnificent, you know, he has to be. Because I'm still the speck. But he loves the specks. Holy are you. Holy, magnificent is your name. Give us, each one of us, our daily provisions. Touch us. How many of you have come to realize you need God every day? Not just some days. How many of you have realized, I have, that I don't just need Him, I got to have Him. I mean, I got to get plugged in. There's no way that I can control my temper sometimes. Anybody else got one of those? How many of you do not have a temper? You're cool, calm, and collected. Come on, who is it? Who is cool, calm, and collected? I could change that. You might even cuss right here at church. Because if I lay your finger on a pew and whack it with this, you might say a bad word. To me, even. But I don't have my collar on, so it's okay. I realize every single day that I have character defects and that I fall short and I need God's provision every day. So guess what? Daily prayer. Daily prayer. Do you hear me, church? Daily prayer. Give me daily prayer. Pray for me. Pray for each other. Pray for God's presence, God's provision. Daily prayer. Daily prayer. And forgive us our sins. Sins. I'm kind of sort of thinking about not using that word trespasses anymore. It kind of seems like somebody's on the lawn, don't it? You know, get off my grass. You know, I told you, get off my grass. You know, it sounds like, don't you be trespassing over there. What are you doing over there? It sounds like the game warden. You're trespassing. That's the, you know, or do you know that the UP Railroad people really don't want you riding your ATVs beside the tracks? They tell you that you're trespassing and that it isn't safe. How dare they? It's Wyoming. I mean, do we not have the right to ride on a train track just because a train's coming? I can roll it over and lay down till the train's gone by, can't you? So I think maybe we'll go to sins. What do you think? Can we have a vote? Democracy. How many want to change it to sins instead of trespasses? See, I thought you were stuck. I knew you were going to go, oh, no, and we've always done it that way. It's sins. Okay, I make an executive decision. We'll split it up some. We had this talk Thursday at the back and track, and you missed it, so we voted then. Just kidding. We didn't vote. Forgive us our sins as we forgive our... Listen, what did Luke do with that? Let's look at it a little closer. Might want to underline this one. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who has sinned. Nope. It says indebted, don't it? What? What? What are you doing, Lucas? Everyone indebted to us. Everyone indebted. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means they owe us something, right? Forgive everyone. Forgive them who are indebted to us. In other words, we have to forgive the people who we have the right to not forgive. We have to forgive the people who owe us, who have done us wrong but should make amends. We have to forgive the people, in other words, who have hurt us but never say they're sorry. We have to forgive the people who have used us and rode our back and have used us in every way possible. We have to forgive them, although we are hurt. They hurt us, and it was wrong. We are to forgive them, to let it go, because remember that every one of us are indebted to Almighty God, and Jesus paid that debt. We are deserving of God's wrath. How many of you want justice when you stand before God? Or do you want grace? Grace. Luke really is telling Theophilus, you gotta forgive people. You got to let it go. Church, there's no larger lesson that we can learn in our life than to let some stuff go. That don't mean we're doormats. That don't mean we go back to that stove and get burned again. It doesn't mean it. It means you need to let some stuff go. If you're hanging on to 20-year-old anger, why? If you're hanging on to 30-year-old hurt, what for? What's it doing? It's holding you victim in your present. It's robbing your peace right now. Because I'll guarantee you, if you're not letting it go, it's coming back in here. I bet it shows up at inopportune times, isn't it? How many of you have been around somebody and they just kind of pushed your buttons? Have you ever thought about why? Past hurt. Gotta let it go. How many of you go hiking? Anybody go hiking? Some of you don't. Garrett went with Carrie the other night, and Carrie was telling me, she saddled him with the backpack. You don't do that. If my wife lets you carry the backpack, don't do it, because she adds to it. My wife will spot a rock. You will be toting 60 pounds of stone before you get out of there. It is as, and she was walking it, and most times she's got this little backpack on, and it's got some waters and all kinds of stuff. It's got lots of things in it. And she, it probably weighs about 10 pounds. And she's always got that. Well, the other day, she gave it to Garrett. And she thought, man, I'm traveling. I can go now. Dropping 10 pounds in a pack, it's pretty important, especially a mile up the hill, 2 miles up the hill. All of a sudden, you can go to the rocks beyond the rocks, a little past the rocks that are past the rocks. That's the Wyoming thing. You get there, you think you're there, but you're not. You got to go a little further. That's just the way it is. You get to a bit. I didn't know that when we moved out here. I thought when you got up to that bench, you were done. No, that was step one. And they just keep doing that stuff. And she turned around and looked, and Garrett was a little further back than usual. He had the backpack. Church, we need to learn to lighten the load and give it to God, because we can't carry it every day. It'll wear you out. You can't fill your pockets full of rocks of hurt, denial, betrayal, anger, envy, jealousy, lies. You can't load that stuff up and travel light. God don't want you to. Get your pencils out, and we'll give you three things. Now Jesus lights into a story that Theophilus records, and it's strange. I mean, he says, don't take us into that time of trial, that time of tribulation, that time of temptation. And then he says to them, suppose you have a friend, and your friend knocks on your door in the middle of the night and says to you, give me some bread, I don't have anything, and my friend's here. And he knocks, and you tell him it's too late. Door shut, locked up, kids are in the bed. Go away. But he doesn't quit. He persists. And not because of your friendship, but because he won't leave you alone. My oldest daughter, when she was little, I don't want to pass this on to another kid. I mean, if they get this one, you've had it. Parents or grandparents, you're in trouble. It will absolutely cause you to say bad things and think bad things and give in to what you don't want to. Vicky had this habit. If she didn't get something that she wanted, and we were at the mall in Asheville, and she wanted this stupid little monkey stuffed thing. It was $10. We were in a hurry, and she's come running over. She showed me this little stuffed monkey. I want this, Daddy, please. I said, no, put it back. Please, Daddy, please. Followed me through the store. Please, Daddy, please. And then big alligator tears started. Please, Daddy, I want, please, Daddy. Okay, come on, just be quiet. Would you do the same? How many have you done the same? Some of you are just hard-hearted and mean, tough. Well, I wasn't that tough then. I'm tough enough now to take that monkey and put it on the shelf and say, you come back and get it when you grow up and get the money. It'll be back. But this guy persists, and he says, he doesn't do it because he's your friend. He does it because you persisted. He's saying to Theophilus, persist in prayer, but admit your need in prayer. This guy had to admit he had nothing. He had to admit that to his very friend. I have nothing, friend. And I have somebody at my house. I don't have anything to even feed them. I'm in total need. I'm totally at your mercy. He's telling Theophilus, humble yourself. And then we get into the ask, search, and knock. It's odd, isn't it? We get this little story about this thing, his friend. It's kind of odd. It don't fit. And then he goes just right into it, and he says to ask. So I say to you, Jesus talking, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Okay. Is there any among you, Jesus says, who if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake, or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then who are evil, that's us, isn't it, know how to give a good gift to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? Stop. Ask. Search. Knock. Greg Fisher. I have found you're on the spit. We'll start rotating now. Greg travels and knows so many places in Wyoming. I only was able to do it 2 years ago, where Greg asked me where that place was at. Black Hall Mountain, the ranger station, and I can't even remember. That's the only. Every other time I have told Greg I've been somewhere, been there. Nice little mine in town, used to be. How does he know that? Now, if you'd have went down this way, did he not do that to us all the time? Finally, he says, where was that place that you were talking about? I thought, I can't believe it. I know where something's at that Greg doesn't know. And I didn't ask him later on because I was afraid he went and said, well, I knew where this was, but that wasn't the right name. So I didn't ask no more. But what I've learned is I ask people stuff, and they'll tell me stuff. I ask a lot of people stuff, but you people in Wyoming, you're wrong about some stuff. I've asked you where you find the fish. I don't know how many upper creeks they are. Ask. Requires humility. Ask admits need. Ask admits you don't know. Ask is a confession that there's something we don't know, a place we can't find, and a life we can't follow. Ask and you shall be answered. If you ever ask directions, how many of you know where Dennis lives? You can get there, right? Okay. I don't know where Dennis lives. I just admitted I didn't know, right? Actually, I do, but for the purpose of this. So some of you who do know, tell me. Pat, on Arthur Street. Second house in on Arthur Street. Okay, that's good. Guess what? I've asked and I've received. Now what must I do? I must search. I must go there. I must search. I've asked. And now, in my journey, I must search. I must ask other people. I get over there and I don't remember which house it was. Darn it, she didn't give me the number. So now I'm searching, I'm asking, I'm searching, and finally I get the number, and I'm standing at the door. I'm standing at the door, but guess what? I've asked, I've searched, I'm ready. But there's some uncertainty, isn't there? I think, but I don't know. I've asked and I've received. I've searched and I've found. But when will I know I did find it? When the door opens. In our faith journey, we find ourselves asking God for many things. I myself, as a pastor, and I can't testify to anybody else, find myself often overwhelmed by the number of things I need to pray for. I sometimes just really go to God and go, God, can I just say all of it and take a little shortcut there? And he says, we're having a conversation. And I told you that you need to ask. So, okay, here I go. And I start naming it. And I have lots of people. If you're around me long, you find out my phone don't quit ringing. The text messages don't stop coming. If you've been in this office, you realize that the door don't stop swinging. You know, it's just the way that it goes. And it's okay. It's the way it is. And there are so many things. Honestly, there are times when I find myself inundated with so many things, with life, with its pressures, personal stuff, family stuff, church stuff, community stuff, world stuff. It just seems like when I bow down, there is so much on my back. Carrie has piled too many rocks in the backpack, proverbially Carrie, not the real one. But I can't even seem to get up, so I need to lighten the load. I need to ask God to take it. And as I ask, guess what he says? I receive. What do I receive? An answer. An answer. And I receive an answer. It may be yes, no, or wait a while. But then I have to search. I have to take that answer. How many of you get exactly what you pray for as soon as you pray for it? Come on. You don't. I don't. So what do? We take our answer and we live with our answer for a little while. Well, Pastor, I didn't get an answer. You did. You just didn't like it, so you push it away a little bit. You see, the answer. What is the answer we don't like the most? No. We can handle yes, we can handle no. The one we don't like is not now. We don't like wait. When we haven't heard from God, that means wait. How many of us are patient waiters? Come on, I know everybody besides me is patient, right? I have a Burger King mentality sometimes. I want it now, and I want it my way. And sometimes I'm not up. So God is saying to us, take this answer, search it out, continue to pray about it, look around, search it out. I've given you the answer, now go. Romans 8:28 reminds us that all things work together for good that loves the love of the Lord. Sometimes the answer takes a while. Stand up for just a second. I know you're about to go to sleep, and I'm about to quit. I know I'm on overtime. I already seen somebody do this to their watch. Not really, but come on, stand up. It's okay. You're a Methodist, but you can still stand. I'm not going to ask you to really get excited and raise your hand. I mean, I think my battery's dead, but I'm talking about. So now look around. Come on, turn around. Look around. You want God to answer prayers, right? Look around. Look what he's got to work with. I mean, just think about it. These are the good ones. You better look around in the world. You can sit down. Hey, look, people are rebellious. People don't. How many of us listen to everything God tells us to do? And we do it right away, right? It took me about 12 years to answer my call to be a pastor. So if somebody was praying for a pastor and that pastor was going to be me, they had a 12-year wait before I even started the process. It was 15 years before I took a church. After I felt God's call. So if somebody was praying that they needed a pastor and that pastor, the answer to that prayer was me, they had to search and wait a long time. So just because God hasn't answered it when you wanted it doesn't mean the answer is not coming. It's coming. But it'll always come in God's time. And when it does, you'll know, and it'll be time to knock. It'll be time to knock, and then the door will open. The opportunity. Church, we are called as Christians to knock on doors, not kick them down. Let God open the doors. Let God make the opportunities. Be patient. That's the power connection. That last little piece I want to close with. I want you to notice that the greatest answer to prayer that God can give us is found at the last part of verse 13. The last piece. It's ask, search, knock, and this is what we get, the Holy Spirit. That gives us an understanding. That gives us the answer, even when, like I started saying, I get to the point that things are so big, things are so monumental in my prayer life, that all I can do is find myself before God and words can't get there. The pain, the hurt, all the stuff makes it to the point that I can't even say, and the Spirit begins to call upon God in groanings and utterances that I can't understand, but God does. The great intercessor within us is God's Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit. Ask, search, knock, and receive the Holy Spirit. That gives us what we need. I find that Christians today don't really honestly know how to pray. It's a personal conversation with God, Father. He wants good for you. He wants good for me. I'm a speck, but He still loves this speck. Even when it gets old and the hair's going and the brain cells, all of them aren't firing all the time, He still loves me. He still loves you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to journey with you. He'll always answer your prayers. He knows the desires of your very heart, the desires that He has put there. He'll meet your needs. He won't give you a scorpion or a snake. He will answer your prayers in grace and mercy. But you got to pray them first. You got to ask. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Speaking of prayer, heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're out there this morning and you're struggling with things. There's decisions you've got to make. Maybe you've made some decisions that were the wrong decisions and now are coming the consequences. And you just need some special prayers this week. I want to invite you to take your hand up and just let it back down. Don't leave it. Just slip it up and back down. If you're struggling, say, Pastor, pray for me. Just put your hand up and back down so I can pray for you. Amen. Pastor, I pray a lot, but I feel like sometimes it's not getting out of the room. Would you pray that I would feel this asking and searching and knocking and opening and receiving? Would you pray that for me? If you want that prayer, slip your hand up. Amen. Amen. Pastor, I pray for stuff all the time, and it just seems like no answer comes. Pray that I can be patient in the waiting. If that's you, I want to pray for you this week. You see, I want to pray for you. I'm watching and looking, and I really will pray for you this week. Pastor, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to pray for those who are on this journey with me. I might not know their name, but you had me looking around a while ago, and I can remember a face. If you'll commit to pray for the people you saw around you this morning, even though you don't know their name, would you slip your hand up and just commit to that prayer? Pastor, I'm struggling. My journey's hard. And I'm not sure some days that I'm really His. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up and take it back down. Amen. I'm going to pray for you, those who raised their hand just then, right now. Father, for the hands that need the assurance of your grace and mercy in their lives, who are struggling with that feeling of closeness, Father, would you reassure them now in your Holy Spirit that you are there, that you love them, and that you are wrapping them in your grace, that you're wrapping them in your mercy, and you're pulling them close to your heart. Would you let them know here and now this morning that your love and grace, that nothing can separate them from you and your love. And Father, as we continue this prayer, we pray for every need that's lifted, every concern we've shared, and that we would come to you in humility asking, be diligent in the searching of the Scriptures, prayer, our lives. And when we come to that place that we feel we have reached, that breakthrough in prayer, that we knock and find the door opened and your love there. Father, we pray today to be faithful as we leave this assemblage and go into the world as the church of Christ. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted before you this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now may truly God's grace and peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, go with you, bless you, and keep you. May His countenance shine upon you, and may His Holy Spirit lead you in the asking, the searching, and the knocking every day of your life. Now truly go in the peace and grace of God to be the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.